Let's remain standing and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. You know what? Luke chapter 8. Verses 26 through 39. Okay. Luke 28, verses 26 through 29. Please hear the word of God. And they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when they had come out onto the land, he was met by a certain man from the city, who was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time, and was not living in a house, but in the tombs. And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him, and said in a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had been commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles, and kept under guard, and yet he would burst his fetters and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And when they were entreating him not to command them to depart into the abyss, now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons entered him to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out from the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. And those who had seen it reported to them how the man was demon-possessed and had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to depart from them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned. And the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he, that is Jesus, he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's bow for a word of prayer and then you can sit down. Dear God, we need your grace in our lives, in everything that we do, think, and say. And we pray that you'd bless this time of spending time in your word. And we pray that your word would apply to each of us in such a way that it will bear fruit for Jesus. And we pray that you would hear us and answer us in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to move the monitor.
Oh, thank you. I forgot about that. First thing I'm going to ask you is a rhetorical question. And that is, could Jesus heal this man? I think it's rhetorical, because he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. If he can create everything, he surely can heal this man. But now I'm going to ask you another question. And I want you to think about this throughout this reading, throughout this teaching. And this question is, how are we like this man? How are you and I like this man? Before we are regenerated. And frightfully, sometimes after we're regenerated. How are we like this man? You'll notice several things about this man. This man dressed the way he wanted to dress. He said what he wanted to say. He did what he wanted to do. He lived where he wanted to live. And he thought what he wanted to think. These are all things that this man did. In Luke 8:26, the first verse here in 26, it says, "Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee." The word Gerasenes comes from the word Gadarenes, and it means men of Gadara, which is a place surrounded or a walled place. And so in the different accounts of this from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, some of the words that are used are he went or he came from the city, the region, the country, and Decapolis. And Decapolis means in Greek 10 cities that surrounded this area. So there were 10 basic cities that were on the east side of the Galilean shore. And so when there's different terms used, the Gadarenes or the Gerasenes, or however you pronounce it, I'm probably not very good at pronouncing English, so you'll have to excuse me. But these are different locations or different cities in that area. And the modern day city is called Gersa, K-E-R-S-A. That's the modern city that's over there on that side. I don't know how big it is because I didn't look that up. But anyway, I thought I'd give you that little bit of information. In verse 27, the Bible says this, "And when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time, and was not living in a house, but in the tombs." Now in the Matthew account, in Matthew 8, the same account tells us that there were two men. But the Luke passage only tells us it doesn't tell us there's only one. It just speaks of one. And so we don't know if the other man was also physically healed. But we think he was, because he didn't bother Jesus. Because one of the accounts that is written, this historical account, tells us that these two men were so violent that people could not walk down the road without being attacked and beat up. And so we know the one man, we know about him because of what is written here in Luke and what's written in the book of Mark. But anyway, so there were actually two men that were there, but the Luke account tells us about the one man because he was the one that the Bible focuses on for whatever reason. It doesn't tell us why he doesn't focus on the second man. So I just thought I'd tell you that little tidbit because it's historical and it's accurate. And so if someone says, well, see, the Bible is not accurate in this area, you can say, well, no, the Bible just is addressing this one particular man, and it wanted to address this one particular man. And so it says here that when he came unto the land, verse 27, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in the tombs. You see, this man, he wasn't wearing any clothes, but he dressed the way he wanted to dress. And these things are not only similar to our society, because we see a lot of perversion in the way people dress, but even we ourselves, we can sometimes dress ways that are provocative or that are not God-pleasing. So I think we have to be aware of that and be careful of how we dress, because we can dress in a way that's not pleasing to God. And then also says he lived in the tombs. He didn't live in a city with the people. He wanted to be away from people. He didn't want to spend time with people. He was out in the tombs. And it says that he basically did what he wanted to do. Another man that was similar to this was Saul. If you think about Saul, he also was rebellious to God's word. He thought he was submitting to God's word. But of course, this man, the demonic man, he was healed before Jesus' death and resurrection. But Saul was healed from his sinful ways after the resurrection of Jesus. But what they had in likeness was they were both rebellious, and they were persecuting the church or just going against the societal way of living. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were killing those that were innocent. And this man would beat up anybody that would come close to the tombs. And so in many ways they were similar. Of course there were differences also, but there were some similarities there. And he was like many in our day and age, because people do not care unless they serve the Lord. People in our day and age do not care what God says about anything, whether how to dress or what to say or what to do. And what about us? Are we willing to live where God wants us to live? Are we willing to attend the church that God wants us to attend? Are we willing to dress the way that God wants us to dress? Are we willing to speak the words of God, the words of Jesus? And are we willing to think God's thoughts after Him? Or are we going our own direction? So even as believers who are born again, we can be sinful in some of our actions and attitudes. And so we need to constantly conform to the Word of God so that we are not like this man who hated God and who hated mankind. In verse 28, the Bible says this: seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have to do with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." And so even though this man was rebellious and he was demon-possessed, he acknowledged that Jesus was Son of the Most High God. Now think about our day and our age. The atheists claim that there is no God. But in their heart of hearts, they know there is a God because He has revealed Himself everywhere. Only by God's grace, of course, do we see Jesus and God everywhere, because we see His handiwork. We see His power. We see His wisdom. We see His provision, His loving kindness. And by God's grace, we see these things. But even this man that was demon-possessed acknowledged the Most High God. Now, in James chapter 2:19, it says, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder." So you see, even the demons, and in this, including this man, they acknowledge that there is a God. But they do not submit to God. They do not love God. They do not care to serve God. And so we must ourselves think, do we really want to serve the living God, or are we serving ourselves? Is our money going to things only for us or for others or for the Lord? Is our time and gifts and talents, are they given to the Lord, or are we keeping them for ourselves? Are we using them in a God-honoring way? This man He was demon-possessed. Everything he had was self-centeredness. It was for self. And so we need to think about how we can serve God by giving of ourselves to Him and our gifts and talents. In Revelation 12:18, the Bible says this, "And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." So in Revelation, it's very clear, and this man acknowledged it. Even though he was not serving God, he acknowledged that there would be a day of judgment because he did not want to be sent to the abyss. And so if the demons were sent to the abyss, they would be locked in the abyss. And yet Jesus allowed them to go into the swine instead. And so they weren't sent to the abyss yet. So they were still free or still on this earth. In verse 29, our text says this, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, and it seized him many times. And he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard. And yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert." Now, if you think about it, anyone who is not serving Jesus is living in a desert, a wasteland, a land that is going to be destroyed. Because the earth groans with groanings because of the fall of Adam in the garden. And one day, God will come and destroy the heavens and the earth, and those things will all be made new. But this man lived in a desert, and so it is with anyone who doesn't serve the Lord. They live in a desert. You notice that this man, he said in verse 30, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him, and they were imploring him to command them to go in, not to go into, wait a second, let me read that one more time. They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. So this man was possessed by many demons, or by legions. In Romans 5:8, the Bible says this, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now this man experienced this before the death of Jesus Christ. And Paul experienced it after the death of Jesus Christ. And you and I, if we're regenerated, we've experienced this also. We've experienced the love of God and the forgiveness of sins. In Romans 6:23 it says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift is God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This man experienced that firsthand, and it was a powerful experience, and it was a transforming time for him because you can see how he had changed from a life that was serving Satan to a life that was serving Jesus. And let's move on to the next text, or the next part of the text. "Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored him to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission, and the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. So this man experienced freedom. When we have our sins forgiven in Christ Jesus, we experience what Pilgrim's Progress describes as the burden lifted off of our shoulders. He experienced freedom. And so it is with us when we're regenerated. We experience the burden lifted at Calvary and freedom of our sin. It doesn't mean that we're sinless, but we are given justification and instantaneous sanctification. But then, of course, there's the process of sanctification that continues also. If we follow the crowds, even as these demons followed each other, and we are unrepentant, stubborn, rebellious, self-willed, self-righteous, we will perish in our sin. But when we're regenerated, and when we submit to the Lord by His grace, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We're serving the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that's what this man did. He was converted, and he repented. It doesn't use the word repented in the text. Now, I don't know if you noticed that, but as I read it, it doesn't mention the word repentance. But he was humbled, and only a humbled man can repent. And we know that he was humbled because he sat at the feet of Jesus, and that's what it says in verse 35. So let's read 34 and 5. It says, "When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened." You see, if you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, you can only do that if you're a humbled person. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to be in Jesus' presence, because He is Almighty God and He's righteous. And when He is righteous, who wants to be in the presence of someone that's righteous when you're a vile sinner? And so for us as believers, because we have the righteousness of Christ, we can come into His presence, because no longer does God look at our sin, but He looks at the righteousness of Christ in us. And so this man was humbled, and we know that to be humbled and to have saving faith, he had to have godly repentance. And like I said, the text doesn't use the word repentance, but we know that has to be true, because you can't have saving faith without humility and repentance. And he was blessed by Jesus. He was in Jesus' presence. So what about us? Do we desire to be in the presence of Jesus? Do we desire to hear Him teach? Do we desire to hear the Word proclaimed, whether in church, and of course that's the most important one, but also in personal devotions, in prayer meetings, or in Bible study? Are we desiring to hear God? Because this man, he wanted to go with Jesus. After he was converted, he wanted to go with Jesus because he understood the truth and he loved Jesus. Now, the ex-demon-possessed man was not partially redeemed. He was totally redeemed and transformed. He was dressed in the righteousness of God, and he was in his right mind. When we're unbelievers, we don't see the kingdom of God. We can't understand the kingdom of God as believers do. That's not to say they can't understand little tidbits. They might be able to understand little tidbits, but even that is by the grace of God in their lives. And so for us, we desire to be in His presence. We desire to be dressed in His righteousness, and we desire to grow in grace. We desire to be clothed with righteousness. And we begin to understand the truth and reality as truth is revealed by God and His Word. And even in the creation, now shows us of God's handiwork and His power. In 1 Timothy 1:15, the Bible says this: "It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." So this is Paul's words to Timothy. And he's not talking about the past tense. He's not talking about when he was persecuting the church. He's talking about the present tense. That's what I am is. It's the present tense. And he says, he is the chief of sinners. And this man can say the same thing. This man can say he was the chief of sinners. But what about you? Can you say that also? Can you say that you are the chief of sinners? I know I can. And it's by God's grace, of course. But do you also think of yourself as the chief of sinners? In verse 37, our text says this, "And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned." I'd like to read to you from also Ezekiel 12:2. It says this, "Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house." Ezekiel is talking about the people of Israel, the church of that day and age. He's saying that they have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear. That means they weren't serving the Lord, many of them, or most of them. I'll better say many, just in case I'm wrong. So many of them did not hear or see. And what about us? Do we have ears to hear and eyes to see as God reveals himself in his word from the text of Scripture? In Romans 11:8, the Bible says this, "Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day." And that's when they killed Jesus. They killed him because they did not have eyes to see or ears to hear. And this man that was demon-possessed, when Jesus healed him, he loved Jesus. And he wanted to spend time with him. So now, at this point, he wouldn't try to beat up Jesus or his disciples. But before his conversion, that was his purpose or goal. He beat up people and he tormented them. Let's read verse 38 of our text. "But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he," that is Jesus, "sent him away, saying, 'Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you.' So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him." Now think about this. We as Reformed people, we love to have our ducks in a row and speak when we know what we're talking about. But this man didn't even spend a whole day with Jesus, less than a day. And yet Jesus commanded him to go out and to be a witness for Jesus. So what about us? When we don't speak a word of God's praise or speak about Jesus to others, is it because of pride on our part? Or is it because we think we don't have it all together? We don't have our ducks in a row, if I can use that phrase? Or is it because we think we need to learn more? We have to have more knowledge to be able to witness. But this man, less than a day, it struck me when I read this and when I studied this, that he went out and proclaimed Jesus, and he hadn't even spent a day with him. So, when it comes right down to it, when it comes to our lives and the lordship of Jesus, we are to proclaim him. And we are to proclaim him boldly because what he's done for us, not because of what we know when it comes to theological things, but because he has converted us, he has changed us, he has caused us to grow in grace, and because he loved us We can tell others that Jesus loves us. So now I have a couple more questions. You know, actually, I'd like to read Ephesians 4, 29 through 32. These are some verses that I'm going to memorize by God's grace, because I need to think about these verses and meditate upon them and have them indwell my life, because I fall short of the glory of God in these areas. Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. This man, the demon-possessed man, had perversity in his mouth. What about us? Do we have perversity? Perversity, if I pronounce that right. Do we have perversity in our mouths? Do we think perverse things? And then the text goes on from Ephesians. But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. This man was going to proclaim Jesus. He was going to proclaim the grace that God had given him. And then in verse 30 from Ephesians, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. This man, as well as us, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit by not speaking forth the truth of God's word. In verse 31, it says this in Ephesians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. You know, it's easy to look at this man because he had all of these things. He had bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander. What about us, though? Do we have those things? If we do, we need to repent and turn to God and ask Him for grace to overcome those sins. And I'm not pointing the finger only at you. I'm pointing the finger at me too. And then verse 32 says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Before his conversion, this man was not kind. He was not tender-hearted. He was not forgiving. He did not want to be in the presence of Jesus. But I desire to be kind. I desire to be tender-hearted. I desire to be forgiving. But sometimes I'm not. And that's shame on me when I'm not. Because that shows that I'm self-centered when I'm not. And what about you? Have you experienced cleansing? Have you experienced freedom from sin? Have you experienced the joy, the hope, a future, peace, peace with God and peace with man? Have you experienced the most important thing, and that is peace with God? And do you have a purpose? Notice this man had a purpose. He was given a commission to go out and proclaim Jesus. And so are we, each one of us, as believers. We're given a commission to be ambassadors for Christ, to speak forth what He's done for us. And of course, this man trusted Jesus. He sat at His feet. And he had a purpose now. Let's see, I'm going to read the last few verses again. It says, Jesus says this to him, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. You notice, he was obedient. He obeyed Jesus right away. He didn't say, but Lord, I need to do this, or I need to do that, or I need to learn more. No, he was obedient. And he did what he was commanded to do. So for us, are we obedient, or do we do our own thing? Do we go our own way? The other thing I could ask is this. Do we have godly humility? This man was humbled. He sat at the feet of Jesus and he wanted to spend time with Jesus. Are we humbled enough to spend time with Jesus? You notice that the people in that area, the other thing that it doesn't say much about, but it does say enough. There's an indictment here for those people. All the people from the city and the country, they asked Jesus to leave. Instead of wanting to spend time with Jesus, those people asked Jesus to leave, and he did. What a terrible judgment on them. Because instead of wanting to spend time with Jesus, instead of wanting to hear more, they wanted less. They probably were thinking about their swine, but it does say that they feared. They were gripped with great fear. Matter of fact, in verses 34, I'll read the last part of the text. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported in the city and out in the country. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear. And he got into a boat and returned. You notice what happened? They got it all wrong. They looked at the healing of this man and they were fearful, but instead of desiring to hear more, they sent Jesus away. They asked him to leave. So for us, whenever we sin, we don't want the presence of Jesus when we're in sin. We want to be far away from Jesus when we sin. But when we're faithful and obedient, then we want the presence of Jesus. So that's something for us to think about, each one of us. And not just you, but me too. So these people, they observed part of what happened, but they missed the most important part. The part that Jesus had healed this man spiritually, that his soul was restored. Let's close in prayer.